Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you find Psalm 23? And it may also help to locate this little sheet of paper or worksheet that you have with the depiction of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, upon it. Once a year, we focus on our senior adults, and I want to use this opportunity to talk about the Shepherd's Guide to Aging Gracefully. When I came to Montgomery in 1981, I had the assignment of working with our senior adults, and I began a secret study then. I began to observe how people aged. Now, I observed some people like J.R. White, Delma Warner, Lula Mae Culpepper, Ruby Lee Reynolds, Bill Dodd, and I saw people as they aged who grew better. But I had many nameless people that I thought didn't do it well. They grew bitter with age, not better. And I determined that the reason a person grows bitter is because of this. Would you make this note? The older we grow, the more wounds we accumulate. The older we grow, the more wounds we accumulate. I'm a people collector, and I love to hear people's stories. And I determined as I met people along the way, especially when I came to Montgomery and met a lot of senior adults, there were a lot of people who carried on their back, this just heavy load of wounds. And here's what I determined as I talked with people and I saw their wounds. I saw some people who just had been hurt by life. I talked to people and they'll say something like this. When I was growing up, my mom and dad would magnify every mistake I would make. And they parented me with guilt and shame and fear. And I guess that's why I operate in the same way. I magnify people's mistakes. I heard a fellow say one time that his best friend stole his fiance. And he said, he essentially stabbed me in the back. He betrayed me. And I have not had another best friend since. I had another fellow tell me a story about how a guy came to him and he had a financial arrangement. He said, "We can make a lot of money, but I need you to take out all your savings and we'll make this investment." And this fellow bought it hook, line, and sinker. And the guy was a stinker. He was a con man. So that fellow said, "He broke me. He ruined me financially. I'll never be the same." Had somebody tell me one time about their wound in life. They said, "I made a minor mistake at work and I got the boot. Kicked me out. It still hurts when I think about it." And then, of course, we've all had this experience. We've all had this experience of having a loved one die out of time, to be bowled over by grief. How many times have I heard someone say, "Why? Why did you take him, Lord? Why did you let my loved one die? I miss him so bad. And I don't know if I can trust you because you took the one I loved." As a matter of fact, everybody's just a turkey. That's how I think about it. Just a bunch of old turkeys out there. No good, sorry, can't trust people. And so folks carry around these accumulated wounds, and this becomes a weight. And you carry these wounds long enough, and you accumulate them. What happens? You become resentful and bitter, and you become a hurtful person. Instead of aging with grace, you age with grief. There's a better way. Let me show it to you. It's here in Psalm 23. I don't know what your issue is today. It doesn't really make any difference what your age is or your stage in life. Let me show you God's answer. Here is the good news in familiar words. Come with me to Psalm 23. Listen to what the Lord says. David is writing. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Very personal. It's present tense. He is my shepherd. "Therefore, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because You are with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Focus on verse 5. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now let's do two things. Let's begin by looking at four things that you don't want to do when you suffer a wound, because these activities will transform that wound into an infected crater that will cause yet more damage. Let's begin with number one. When you suffer a wound, number one, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Don't play like you're a Hollywood tough guy, like you're Jack Bauer and you're impervious. Don't play like you're Tom Cruise or Matt Damon or Daniel Craig and nobody can scratch or hurt you. Yes, they can. We are all made out of flesh and blood. We're all humans. You cut me, I will bleed. You hurt me, I will cry. That's how we're all wired. So don't play this game of ignoring a wound. Some people play a denial game, don't they? One of my favorite word plays is this. You don't have to be Cleopatra to live by denial. You get that? Denial, the river. Anyway, I think there are a lot of people that damage themselves because they live in this world of denial. They pretend that nothing happens. They just ignore it. They act like they're Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind. "Well, I'll think about that tomorrow. Tomorrow is another day." And so you play the procrastinator. You put things off. You don't deal with it. But here's what really happens. If you have someone who is consistently damaging you, if you deny it, do you know what you're doing? You are enabling that behavior. You are promoting that behavior. And that is going to cause further damage and self-defeat. So number one, don't ignore it, because the scripture says in Psalm 39, "I kept quiet, but I became ever more upset, and I became very angry inside, and I thought about it, and my anger burned." So an unproductive way to deal with the wound is to ignore it. Number two, don't run from it. Don't run from it. Don't do what it says in Psalm 55. The psalmist said, "I wish I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and rest. I would hurry to my place of escape." When some people are wounded, they sound the note of retreat. They run away. They don't face it. They try to escape from it. Have you noticed that every public building has doors that open to the outside? Because if there is a crisis and people panic, they hit the panic button. They hit the escape route and the doors open out. That's how we're wired. If we have a problem, we naturally think about running away or fleeing or escaping. Some people escape into their work or into their hobbies or their entertainment, their leisure activities. Some people escape into alcohol or drug abuse. There are a lot of forms of escape, but here is the great truth. When you run from a problem, when you try to escape it, when you finally come back home, that problem's just gotten bigger. I had a great friend who fought a battle with alcoholism for years, and he said, "I had a big family problem. I had a problem with my past, and I tried to drown my problems with alcohol, and I discovered my problems were good swimmers, and it didn't work." So don't ignore it. Don't try to run from it. Number three, don't hide your wound. Don't hide your wound. The psalmist said it like this in Psalm 32. When I kept things to myself, I felt weak deep inside of me. I moaned all day long. Some people are hurt and wounded, and they'll put on this mask, a plastic mask that looks like they're smiling when they're dying inside. They camouflage their pain. You see, there's a better way. There's a better way. There was a famous Baptist pastor named Jimmy Allen. He was from Texas. And he wrote this book that had a profound impact on me called The Burden of a Secret. In that book, he tells how his son lived in San Francisco in the 1980s, and his son, he got AIDS. Well, he came to tell his pastor father about this terrible disease that was eating away at him. His father loved his son, but he didn't know how the church might react. So he decided to keep the secret within the family. As a matter of fact, he kept a journal entitled The Burden of a Secret. And for years, they bore this burden, this terrible pain, all alone by themselves. And finally, he came to this point where he couldn't bear it anymore. And finally, he opened up and he told the truth. He told his church about his son's disease. What do you think the church did? Do you think that church rejected him? Did they run him off? No, they did like true Christ followers are supposed to do. They loved him. And they loved his son and family. And he writes this beautiful message calling us not to burden ourselves needlessly with secrets. As a matter of fact, here's what I've come to believe about this church. This is one of the reasons I love First Baptist Montgomery. I've invested 26 years of my life into this special, healthy family of faith. This church is not a hiding place. It's a healing place. It's a helping place. This church is not some sort of showcase for the saint. It's a clinic for the sinner. That's what makes this church so extraordinarily special. You can be authentic. You can be real. You don't have to play a game of hide and seek with God or with each other. The scripture tells us in James 5, verse 16, confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. Let me show you one other don't. Number four, don't resent it. When you have a hurt, when you are wounded, don't resent it. Job 5:2 tells us to worry yourself to death with resentment would be foolish. It would be a senseless thing to do. Now, friends, folks who take their wounds and their hurts and they internalize them will become bitter, angry, cynical people who live in a perennial pity party. I've met many people in that category. Let's face it, we've all been hurt, maligned. In some form, we've been damaged and wounded. And the issue is, what will you do with it? Some time ago, a gentleman came to see me, and he began to tell me his life story. And he told me how he had been ripped and he had been gypped by his ex-wife. And he delineated all of her shortcomings and all of the terrible things that he had endured from her. And so I was just taking it all in, and I said, well, now give me a timeline. When did this happen? It sounded like it was maybe last month, maybe certainly last year. He said, it was about 15 years ago. 15 years ago? You got to be kidding me. I mean, you told me this as if it was yesterday's news. Oh, my friend, you are bringing great damage to your spirit. You see, bitterness contains a poison within it. You see, bitterness and resentment allows a person who has hurt you in the past to hurt you today and to destroy your future. That's why it is so dangerous. It's a self-defeating attitude. And it creates an infection of your spirit that's virtual poison. Well, let's shift the gear. Look at God's instructions on how to handle your wounds. What do you do? It all links to the shepherd. Number one, let Jesus, who is the good shepherd, we learn in John 10:11, he's the good shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. Let Jesus settle the score. Let him settle the score. Did you notice here in Psalm 23, verse 5, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, whoever has hurt you, entrust that person, entrust that wound back to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. The Bible does not encourage you to seek revenge and retaliation. It is almost impossible to engage in revenge and recovery at the same time. That's not how it works. the scripture tells us in Romans 12, it is so revealing. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Never take your own revenge, beloved. Leave room for the wrath of God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Let's get the order right. He is the shepherd, we're the sheep. Now, inherently, a sheep is what? A sheep is defenseless. A sheep doesn't have sharp claws or teeth. A sheep is vulnerable, doesn't have a good sense of direction. And the sheep trust the shepherd to take care of that little defenseless animal so that the predators will not prey upon the sheep. And that's the call of God. That's the goal of God. For you to trust the Lord and not engage in revenge, but instead engage in recovery. There's a famous biblical analogy about the self-defeat of revenge. Do you remember there was a woman named Esther? And Esther was Jewish, and she won the Miss Universe pageant, and she became the queen of Artaxerxes. And the Jewish people were in favor, but there was one man named Mordecai. And Mordecai was the coach of Esther. He was like her uncle. He was the ultimate good guy. He was a Jewish wise man. And somehow he had incurred the hatred of a guy named Haman. Haman was the king's right-hand man. And Haman was determined to get rid of this Jewish man named Mordecai. He hated him. And one day, Haman was talking to his wife. He was just seething with hate for Mordecai. And his wife made this suggestion. She said, "Honey, why don't you create right outside of the king's palace a pole, and then you can take that evil Jewish fella named Mordecai and have him impaled, and we'll try to have it for your birthday. That'll be your birthday present, the impaling of your enemy." And do you remember what the Bible says about that plot of revenge? You see, God gave the Jews favor. And it was not Mordecai who was impaled upon that pole. It was Haman. You see, revenge a lot of times backfires. It becomes a boomerang. And that which you invent to hurt people will destroy you. So let Jesus settle the score. And that happens when you forgive. That happens when you do what Jesus did at the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Jesus instructed us in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Through the pen of Paul, what do we hear? Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you, in Ephesians 4:32. Learn to forgive. Number two, the good shepherd Jesus, let Jesus soothe my wounds. Let Jesus soothe my wounds. Look again at Psalm 23. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil." It's a picture of soothing my wounds. Do you know what the shepherd would do to a sheep? The shepherd would take this sheep, and at certain times of the year, in the spring especially, there would be flies that would irritate the sheep. And you would mix oil with some sulfur, and you would almost create an insect repellent that you would put on that sheep's head because, and I don't want to gross you out, but at one time at my house, we had 1,000 sheep and goats when I was a boy, and we actually did some of this. But there's a kind of fly that will lay the fly's eggs in the nostril of the sheep. Not a very pleasant incubation place, is it? Your nostril for fly eggs? Ooh, that is gross, but that is reality. So these sheep would be irritated by flies trying to lay eggs in their nostrils. And so the shepherd comes along and he removes the irritant by creating an oil sulfur mix that takes care of his sheep, that soothes their wounds. Listen to what the scripture says. Look at Psalm 147. God heals the brokenhearted, and he bandages their wounds. I don't know what kind of wound you've had, but I can tell you Jesus is up to binding your wounds, stopping that irritation. There's a balm in Gilead, the scripture says. Jesus invited in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and what will I do? I will give you rest." Rest for your soul. And friends, rest is the first part of the word for restoration. When you rest in him, you are on the road to restoration of relationships. But there's one last thing I want to show you. Number three, let Jesus satisfy my needs. Let him settle the score, soothe my wounds, and satisfy my needs. Did you notice in Psalm 23, my cup overflows? Now, a custom in the Middle East is when you have a visitor, when they come and visit with you, and you give them something to drink. And if you really enjoy their company, you keep refilling their glass. But if you get tired of their company, you don't refill the glass, and when the glass is empty, it's time for them to leave. Hasta la vista, baby. That's what they're saying. I'll see you later. Goodbye. But the picture here is of a host who perennially fills up the cup to overflowing, saying, I am here to meet your needs. You are in my family. I care about you. That's what the shepherd is saying here. The good shepherd Jesus is saying, I will meet your needs. Now, friend, always remember this. Sometimes we expect other people to meet our needs, and only God can truly meet the deep needs of your soul and your spirit. You see, it's God who gives us security, love, and happiness. He is our need meter. The scripture tells us in Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all of your needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And he will not only meet those needs now, but listen to this. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He'll take care of you now. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He will take care of our needs on earth and for eternity. The great good shepherd. That's how he wants to deal with your wounds. Well, look at the bottom line, please. The result of doing God's word today is to experience God's peace. The objective of today is for you to empty that backpack that you've been carrying around, and it weights you down and it makes you bitter. Just empty those hurts and wounds and ask God to fill that backpack with his healing, help, presence, and peace. He'll do it. Let's pray. Dear Father, oh, I thank you. I thank you that you're a good shepherd that creates a beautiful banquet table, a banquet of nourishment and encouragement, a banquet of healing and hope. Father, thank you for being the good shepherd that settles the score, soothes the wounds, and satisfies our needs. Even now, Lord, we can't tell you thank you enough for being our guiding, cleansing, good shepherd. Lord, would you help us to empty that backpack? We don't want to grow into bitter, ugly people who are a bad ad for your love. But instead, Father, we ask that you help us exchange these wounds for your peace and hope. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.